Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
All right, I got a couple of messages that have come in on the Montana Talks app. Just saw this one from Tim in Savage. This one, actually, he sent this one in a while ago. Yeah, this is a big news story breaking here overnight. John Bolton, you guys remember John Bolton, a former national security advisor, the several Republican presidents, including President Trump in his first term. And then, of course, Bolton had a very public break from President Trump. But John Bolton's home raided by federal agents. FoxNews.com has the story here. Yet John Bolton's house has now been raided by federal agents. Apparently, they believe that he is holding on to classified documents in an unclassified setting. So that's an interesting story that broke here overnight. We had a caller call in and talk about a potential sales tax in Montana. You know, the Montana Chamber of Commerce is pushing a sales tax right now. And we had a caller, Gary in Billings, say how he would like to see that replace property taxes. And then I kind of said, look, does anybody think they would ever actually do away with property taxes? Instead, we would just get stuck with another tax. Even though we don't have a revenue problem in Helena, we have a spending problem in Helena. Anyway, Cameron in Billings sent us a message saying this, the sales tax is an interesting quandary. Sales tax should give us citizens relief elsewhere. Unfortunately, we all know that would not happen. These days, taxation is theft. Cameron, thanks for that message. Great to hear from you. You can message us on the Montana Talks app as well. Later on, we'll take some of your phone calls as well. But great to have Becky Hillier with us here, looking at the bright side of things on this Freedom Friday. Becky, are you all recovered from Rodeo Billings? What a series of events you guys had.
Yeah, I am recovered. It just feels great to have it behind us, and feels really fun thinking about, okay, well, we've got another year to plan for the next one, and we'll do it all over again, and it'll be bigger and better, and people will have an even better time than they had. So it was really great, and I know you were able to come, and I know you had a great time too.
Well, it was. Well, we were sitting at the coolest table in the house. My mom and I got to hang out with your husband, Mitch, and some of his wild and crazy friends. Man, that 40-year Navy veteran, I thought Miss Rodeo Montana was just going to lift him onto her horse and ride off into the sunset. He was having a great old time.
Yeah, they don't get out much. I mean, I think you'd tell that. They had a really good time. And you know, honestly, Aaron, that's what it's all about. It was about people coming out, either friends, family, sitting together, and just this awesome sense of community and this festive atmosphere, outdoor rodeo again. I mean, you just couldn't beat it. They had a great time, and they were so representative of everybody else in the crowd, whether they were in the grandstands or in one of the VIP areas. People just had a great time, and it was a great rodeo production just all the way around. It was awesome. So just so thankful that people came out and supported Rodeo Billings and had a wonderful time.
Yeah, that's right. The crowd was really getting into it, man. They were banging their feet on the grandstands, raising a ruckus. It felt like being at a Cat Grizz football game almost, but in the summertime when it's a little warmer, of course. All right, hold that thought. Becky Hillier, I know she's got a bright side story for us here this week. We'll start there right after this quick break right here with Montana Talks.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will push up to around 80 degrees. Skies stay clear into tonight as temperatures will drop back down in the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. And then for Saturday, we can expect more sunshine with high temperature readings on the way up into the mid-80s, staying clear and quiet Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
This is House Call for Health. How to deal with anxiety. Dr. Daniel Amen is a psychiatrist, brain imaging specialist, and founder of Amen Clinics in California. He recently spoke with Fox News Digital on reducing anxiety.
I call it diaphragmatic breathing, and it's the 15-second breath, which is 4 seconds in. Take a big breath. Hold it for about a second and a half. And 8 seconds out. So if you take twice as long to breathe out as you breathe in. It has an automatic relaxation response built into it. And then hold it out for about a second and a half. So all told, it's about 15 seconds. And if you just do that 4 to 6 times, you're going to notice your whole body begins to relax and feel calm.
For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, before we get to the bright side stories of the week here with Becky Hillier on this Freedom Friday, I got to talk a little bit more about Rodeo Billings here, because this was just kind of fun. I always love hearing feedback about the show, because, you know, whenever you get a guest on Montana Talks or you talk about a topic and then you travel across the state of Montana, it's fun to hear what people say. You know, people, just random people that said, hey, I was listening to that show the other day. So, Becky, this was really cool. I think you were the one who told me about this. And then David Allen actually called in. David Allen, the head of Rodeo Billings and the GM for the Nile in Billings, he called in on Wednesday's show. And he says, you know, just, you know, thanked us and thanked everybody who came out to support Rodeo Billings, the first outdoor rodeo now in several years. And, of course, just what an incredible time everybody had. But this was really cool. I think you were the one who told me about it. Bob Tallman, this legendary rodeo announcer that you guys had do the rodeo for Rodeo Billings, he also joined us on the radio. And apparently, he says, what the heck is with this show? You guys had me on this show with this Aaron guy, this Montana talk show. He says, you know, and he was in the hospital chair getting foot surgery before, right after he got off the radio with us. But apparently Bob said his phone blew up. He had people all over the state that were just blowing up his phone saying, hey, I heard you on the radio, heard you on the radio.
Yeah, well, you know, he is such a character. And after being at the rodeo and you heard him firsthand what he does and how he does his job, he just injects so much life and energy and fun into the rodeo. And so he's made friends all across the globe, really. And so for him to be on your show, and he's just as frank as can be and as genuine as can be. So you know that there was great response after that. People were laughing and feeling great about it. But he is just such an awesome personality, such a great guy. And we were just so honored to have him be here at Rodeo Billings and announce our rodeo for the first year. And he'll be back next year. And Garrison Allen did a wonderful job as well. Bob has kind of taken Garrison under his wing and showed him the ropes. And together they made a great team. And Bob, I mean, you know, you always know that when you talk to Bob or you interview Bob, it will be a memorable interview or a memorable conversation. So you never have to worry about it being boring, that's for sure.
Well, and then it was cool. So while I was watching the rodeo, you know, my mom got really excited because the Bob Tallman said, is anybody out there from Glasgow, Montana? And of course, my mom goes crazy. And there was about, you know, a handful of other people in the grandstands that went crazy, too. But when I heard there was a couple, I think one or two Crowleys from Wolf Point were in the rodeo as well. And I think I passed him on the interstate when I was driving to the Flathead, by the way, the next day. But when I heard that name, Crowley, Wolf Point, I was like, hey, I got to meet them when I was at the Wild Horse Stampede in Wolf Point, I think a couple of years ago.
Oh,
when
wow.
They had their 100th. But I also got to thinking, I said, hey, I think they're related to, do you remember Heather Nauert? Heather Nauert.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, she was on Fox News back in the early days of Fox News. I mean, you know, great reporter for Fox News, Trump Trump then made her a State Department spokeswoman. And anyway, she's just great. Her and her husband live in Bozeman, you know, and he's one of these kind of New York City, Wall Street finance type guys, really nice guy. We've gotten to know Scott Norby is her husband and Heather Nauert. But I knew they had family up there because he's a Norby, so he's related to half of eastern Montana. But anyway, fast forward a few days later, I get a message on the Montana Talks app from Scott, Heather Nauert's husband, and he says, "Hey, I've been up here, you know, working on the combine, helping out with the harvest here this summer. So I've been enjoying listening to you on the radio," because usually he's bouncing back and forth between New York City and Bozeman. So that was fun. And so I messaged him back. I said, "Yeah, by the way, I said, I think I saw some of your family members at Rodeo Billings." He said, "Oh yeah, they're all over the place." So it's just, you just never know who's listening. And that's what's so fun about it. Bob Tallman was saying he was hearing from, you know, rodeo friends in Butte, rodeo friends, mm-hmm. Northeast Montana, all across the state. And so we forget that, you know, there's a fraction of talk radio listeners that will actually call into a show. Everybody else just kind of hangs back, but we forget how many people are just hanging back listening in.
Well, yeah, and then to get that kind of feedback is really wonderful, and because it can be kind of quiet for you, I'm sure, at times, but then when you have a guest like Bob who just lights everybody up, then you get that feedback and you're like, oh yeah, people are listening and people enjoy what you were doing. So but yeah, Bob is a friend to everybody. He has friends in every corner of the country you can imagine. So it was just really awesome to have him here. And I'm glad that he was on your show and made it so memorable by sitting in the chair to get his foot surgery right while he was talking to us. So
yeah,
he is unique.
Yeah, that's right. And well, and then Sparky Dreesen, who raises the Buck and Bronx out there in Circle, Montana, when he was telling that story about how, what was he at the NFR or something, and how one of his Buck and Bronx, you know, is out there doing just an incredible job doing what that Buck and Bronx is supposed to do. And then at one point, while this Buck and Bronx is in the middle of bucking, you know, the cowboy on its back, basically, he says that horse looked me in the eye and basically yep. said, "Am I doing a good job? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do?" That was such a close
right.
connection. So it's crazy.
Yeah. Well, and it is, you know, like we were talking about that before, Aaron, these stock contractors, these animals, they're part of their family and they raise them from infancy and they get to know them. And it is kind of like a father son or a father daughter relationship. And what do you want to do? You want to please your dad, you want to please your mom. And so when they're out in their bucket and they're doing their job, of course, looking at him for some kind of, you know, like some acknowledgement that they are doing a good job, it would be just like a kid doing that to their dad. So there is such a strong connection between these stock contractors and their stock. And that's why they're so good at what they do. That's why Sparky and Jay Barjay are in the elite level of pro rodeo stock contractors. That's why they do what they do and why they're so successful.
So when you're driving through Circle, just look out there on the horizon and think of that story. Okay, quick break. Back right after this.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
There was a huge media buildup and then wall-to-wall coverage of the Alaska summit between President Trump and Vladimir Putin. And most of it has been negative. There were no questions taken. There were no details provided. Both leaders said it was a good meeting, but it was all so vague. What did they agree on? What did they not agree on? No details, a lot of vague assurances. There might be another meeting with Putin, or there might not be. At the same time, President Trump later talked to Zelensky, who will be at the White House today, and he wants a permanent end to the war, not just a ceasefire, to, as he put it, give the Russians some breathing room between invasions. So it was a roll of the dice for the president, and the media verdict is it didn't get much. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. We've had a busy week up here in the Flathead with the Western Congressional Caucus Summit that's been underway. Got to have several members of Congress and the head of the U.S. Forest Service on the show. What are we going to have featured on the program Friday? Why not you? Let's have some open phones Friday right here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. Of course, you can jump in on the conversation, 406-294-0970, or message us on the Montana Talks app.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordland.
The United States and European Union have jointly announced details of their framework trade pact, including broad new market access for U.S. agriculture. It's a big deal for U.S. ag, maybe the biggest stemming from efforts to avert a tariff war after decades of trade barriers by the 27-nation EU trade bloc. European Commission Trade Chief Maroš Šefčovič announced the deal in Brussels.
On our side, the Commission is taking concrete steps to remove tariffs on all U.S. industrial goods and expand market access for U.S. seafood and agricultural products.
The European Union, in return for a lowered 15% U.S. duty, will give preferential market access to U.S. dairy, soybean oil, pork, fruits, nuts, and vegetables, the White House said in a joint EU statement. The deal also will streamline requirements for sanitary certificates for U.S. pork and dairy products. Šefčovič says the EU is fully behind the deal and committed to deliver it.
The alternative, a trade war with sky-high tariffs and political escalation, helps no one. It hurts jobs, it hurts growth, and it damages businesses across both the EU and the U.S.
Šefčovič said the framework is not the end, but the beginning to grow over time to expand market access even further. I'm Lee Nordblond.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, you guys got to check out Becky Hillier's Facebook page. She always shares some great stuff on there. She had this one here that she shared. I guess you'd shared this a while ago, Becky, and then you re-racked it here. It popped up in your memories. People ask you, what do you do for a living? The response, my best. I do my best. That's such a great meme there that you shared on Facebook. It reminds me this Jay Collins, who's the new lieutenant governor of Florida. He grew up in Scobie, Montana, but he was a Green Beret in the Army, and he served in what they refer to as special missions units. So, like, he was like the elite of the elite of the elite of the elite. And when he was doing this interview with Governor Ron DeSantis, he talked about how anything worth doing is worth doing well, which, of course, is a biblical, a Bible verse as well, when you really break it all down, in a biblical concept. But anyway, thanks for sharing that on your Facebook page. You've got a couple of bright side stories for us this week.
I do, and whichever one, if we have time for both of them, I can make them real short and quick. But the first one that I think is really neat is in Japan. They have a service where you can rent a grandmother. Now imagine that. So what they found was that, people will hire a handyman contractor. It might be someone over the age of 60 or so, just to come in and do small jobs around the house. But then they realized that for some people, they might actually want to have a grandmother type come in and maybe do some homemaking for them. Or maybe it's a family that never really knew their grandmother. Someone grew up without a grandmother, but they would like to have that presence in their lives. And so you can rent a grandmother. You can rent an aunt. You can rent someone to be a friend. And as far as the grandmother service goes, it's really helpful for women over the age of 60 in the country, because there really were very few opportunities for them to get involved and still work and feel useful, other than just maybe house cleaning jobs in the country. That was primarily what they were looked at function-wise. And so one of the gals, she's 69 years old, and she's a rent-a-grandmother, and she said that this is the perfect thing for her to do. She can go in and she can talk to the family and make these memories with the family and be incorporated into their lives and then go home to her life. And she feels that she's important and she's brought something to their life, and they certainly have added value to hers. And so she finds it very, very beneficial for her and very meaningful for her. And for people, it made me think about here in the U.S., people, once they retire, sometimes feel, what am I going to do? What's my purpose? They don't want to just sit home, but to be able to go out and feel useful and provide some love and some care and attention and receive that back as well, I think is really valuable. Love that story of rent-a-grandmother service in Japan, and maybe we could start something like that here in the U.S.
Yeah, it kind of almost sounds like a big brothers, big sisters type of program, where you think about kids that are in schools that don't have a big brother, big sister, don't have an adult mentor in their life. Kind of a similar concept here.
Exactly. And you know, like my, I was thinking of my grandfathers because both of my grandfathers passed away. One passed away before I was born and the other one passed away, I think, when I was a couple of months old. So I never knew my grandfathers. I did know my grandmothers. But I thought how cool for people who never experienced that relationship with an elder in their family to be able to do that now. And they pay for the service. But I just think that if they're willing to pay for that, then it provides some value in their life. It is a missing piece that they are able to incorporate in their life to make it better. And it's a win-win situation for the rent-a-grandma and for the family as well.
Yeah, very.
So I just love that story.
Yeah, that's a great story. Very interesting. Becky's got another very interesting look at the bright side story. This is kind of something that's happening all over the globe right now. Apparently, the optimism of people and how they feel about the future is on the rise. That's kind of crazy because it seems like the only thing you ever hear is about people thinking about how bad the future is going to be all over the world. So anyway, looking forward to hearing about that one. But hey, speaking of services, I'll tell you what, if you guys, have you ever thought of heated floors? Yeah, I think I was at the Whitefish Lake Lodge yesterday because that's where these Western Congressional Caucus summits were taking place at. And, you know, and then, of course, after I wrapped up the show, after I interviewed House Majority Leader Steve Scalise, I thought, okay, I'm going in the water now. I'm jumping in the lake, right? And, you know, even in the summertime, you get off the water and, you know, it's those bathroom floors when you're changing in and out of your swimsuit can be a little cold. Well, not with Radiant flooring, Radiant heating installation. Hey, our friends at High Caliber Plumbing can install that. You don't have to go to the Whitefish Lake Lodge. You can have it in your own lodge. You can have it in your own house. You can have heated floors in your bathroom. Not only that, but hot water. I'll tell you what, if you've got a lot of kids or you have family over and you run out of hot water when everybody's trying to shower, you got to ask High Caliber Plumbing about their tankless water heaters. Veteran-owned family business. Ron Gunn is the owner. He's got both his boys working as plumbers as well. The Billings, Bridger, Red Lodge, Columbus areas. Check them out. HighCaliberPlumbing.com. Friday conversation here with Becky Hill. You're looking at the bright side of things. So, Becky, yeah, you were telling me during one of the last breaks that you came across this survey that basically says that people all over the world feel better about the future. That just seems crazy. It seems like we never get surveys like that.
Right. Well, I mean, you think about all the civil unrest, the civil wars, and all the natural disasters, and you look at the helicopter view of that, everything that's happening globally, and you think, oh my gosh, people must be feeling desperate and hopeless now more than ever. But according to the Gallup Life Evaluation Index, which is an annual survey they do, men and women, both young and old, are feeling more positive and more optimistic now than ever before and classify themselves as thriving in larger numbers than at any other time in the past. So people were asked across 142 nations to rank themselves on a scale of 0 to 10. And 0 to 4, if you ranked yourself 0 to 4, it meant that you were suffering, 5 to 6 was struggling, and 7 to 10 was thriving. And across those 142 nations, the vast majority of people classified themselves as thriving more than ever. And their outlook over the next 5 years, they gave it an average score of 7.9. So this just was so striking to me, again, because we just read headlines or we just grab little snippets of news, you know, the snackable content that's out there. And it seems that the majority of it focuses on very negative stories or negative mindsets. But to see this, that globally, all of these people, when they're ranking themselves, they're ranking themselves in the thriving category more than ever before, just really made me smile and made me happy, thinking that there are more people out there who are finding that bright side, who are finding more things that are positive to really lean on and lean into now than they were before. And so some of the countries with the highest populations that feel they're thriving are Latin America and the Caribbean. So you know, maybe we need to move to the Caribbean. All of us need to move to the beach. I mean, something to be said for that.
I was going to say, if I was on a beach in the Caribbean in February, it would be very easy to look at the bright side of things. But you know, the bigger picture, though, is I wonder if there's more peace deals that are in the works now. Hopefully that, you know, as the American economy improves, that means that, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats, even a boat in the Caribbean. Right. But also, I think there is an element of choice here, too. The rabbi in Bozeman and a Christian mentor friend of mine in Billings both say that if you do one thing every morning, you wake up, think of something you're thankful for, think of something you're grateful for, start your day that way. And it's such great advice. Becky Hillier, always great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time. Thanks for sharing some great stories with us here this morning.
You better, and thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. Yeah, there's a bright side for you right there. It's Friday, Freedom Friday, here on Montana Talks. We're going to get into the big news stories of the day here. Big case out of Helena, a Democrat fundraiser being federally prosecuted. Stand by.
Fox in the Fast Lane.
Austin Dillon shook up NASCAR's playoff picture at Richmond Raceway.
There's no contest this year. It's all Austin Dillon. He's going to the playoffs.
That was courtesy of USA Network as Dillon won the Cookout 400 to lock up a playoff spot. Dillon's victory vaulted him from 28th place in the championship standings to into the 16-driver playoff field. It was redemption for Dillon, who won at Richmond last year, but was later ruled ineligible for the playoffs after being penalized by NASCAR for aggressive driving in the final laps of the race. Alex Bowman, Ryan Blaney, Joey Logano, and Austin Cindric rounded out the top five, while William Byron finished 12th, clinching the regular season championship. The Cup Series now makes a trip to Daytona International Speedway for the Coke Zero Sugar 400 on Saturday, the final race of the regular season. Tyler Reddick and Alex Bowman will enter the race above the playoff cut line. For Fox in the Fast Lane, I'm Joe Morgan, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I mentioned earlier in the 6 o'clock hour, big story breaking out of Helena, big story breaking out of the federal courts. Basically, a leading Democrat treasurer, fundraiser, campaign operative, whatever you want to call her, is now being charged in a $250,000 embezzlement case. First heard about this from our friend Tyler Newcomb yesterday. He's the former executive director of the Montana Republican Party. I think he might call in later this morning in the 9 o'clock hour of this show. But also the Montana Sentinel covering this story as well. And I've got several headlines in front of me here. Let me just read through a couple of headlines for you here. The Montana Television Network has this. According to court documents, a former contractor with Montana political campaigns, Democrat political campaigns, I should add here, will admit to embezzling more than $250,000 from her clients. A plea agreement filed in federal district court Thursday says Abby Lee Cook will plead guilty to 3 counts of wire fraud. It says she will agree to pay $253,000 in restitution and that prosecutors will not move to detain her, though the final decision will be made by a judge. We've got retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel Darren Gobb. He's done some great work for the Montana Freedom Caucus. He's also got the Montana Sentinel, and you've probably seen him on Fox News and other news outlets from time to time as well, talking national security issues. But Darren's been helping to break this story as well here. Darren Gobb, thanks for being with us this morning on the show.
Hey, good morning, Aaron. It's always a pleasure to join you. That story took about 5 months of my life to research and get it out there. So I'm happy to see some results.
Wow. So you were on this story a long time ago, and then now, you know, federal court documents have come out. So now the mainstream media now has several reports.
Yeah, they do. This, let's just say I was turned towards this issue quite a while ago. So I've been researching it, building the story, wrote most of it, sat on it for quite a while, waiting for some specific actions to take place. And then once those actions took place, published it and then shared it statewide the best I could. I know others are picking it up now, but I call it journalism. You're supposed to dig into things and find the truth of things and then report them. And I don't care which side of any aisle you sit on. If you do something like this and I have the goods, I'm going to share them.
What's crazy about this story is, so there's this Jesse James Mullen guy. He ran as a Democrat for Secretary of State. He says some crazy things on X. So he takes some crazy far-left positions. But to his credit, he stepped down from the board of the Montana Democrat Party, and he actually posted about this story yesterday on X, and he said, "Hey, guys, when I stepped down from the board of the Montana Democrat Party, I told them I was wanting to have some sort of an audit. I wanted to see where our money was going, where it was being spent, and everything." And they shut him down. And basically, they started targeting him as a result of that. That tells me that this story isn't just about this Abby Cook. This is about more figures in the Montana Democrat Party, because otherwise, why would they have been so opposed to opening up the books with their own party officials?
Yeah, that's very true. And I'll tell you that, you know, this is just the first story. We're not done yet. I have some more stuff that we're going to be sharing about this at a date sometime in the future here. But this is a rather large stain across the party, because you mentioned one figure. Of course, there are many figures, not just straight Democrats, but there are, you know, judicial candidates involved. And I'm sure this is going to continue to get some attention. I'm probably not going to be on my own now researching this as we move forward. But we started it, and I'm happy to get as many eyes on this as possible, because I think transparency about everything is critical. And this is just one case, and it's interesting that, I mean, I can look out my front window of my house here, and I can see Abby Lee Cook's house. She's not that far from me. So this is Helena. There's not a whole lot in Helena that escapes the eyes of people who are looking, because it's such a small community.
It's a small town, that's for sure. Yeah, that's for sure. So what's the story here with Abby Lee Cook? And actually, before we get into that, you know, when I first heard when I first saw that there was federal charges involving campaign funds and, you know, a prominent Montana Democrat, my initial reaction, in fact, I was joking with a couple of friends that I ran into at this Congressional Western Caucus, and both of us had the initial knee-jerk reaction was, Zoe Zephyr has got to be involved in this one way or another, because, you know, Darren, you were covering the transurrection when Zoe Zephyr cheered on the radical transgender activists that were attacking our Montana Capitol. And then, of course, we were covering it here on Montana Talks. We had you on the show at the time. I ended up quoting you in a big piece that I wrote for The Federalist about the whole incident as well. But Zoe Zephyr didn't care the harm that came to the Montana Capitol. Zoe Zephyr didn't care about the harm that came to the Montana Democrat Party, because he was raising a boatload of money from national Democrats after cheering on that transurrection. So, of course, the radical transgender lawmaker from Missoula is connected to this whole story, right?
Absolutely. And you wonder where all that money went. I think you've got part of your answer now. Because I will tell you that I filed a complaint, a financial mismanagement complaint, to the Commissioner's Office for Political Practices. And it was amazing that shortly after I exposed all this money going into Zephyr's coffers, that all the posts of international travel to Canada and France and even places going down into San Francisco and East Coast, just a whole bunch of travel suddenly happened. And then all those posts on X disappeared as soon as the complaint was filed with, and he received it. Fortunately, I screen captured every one of them. So there's an involvement with a lot of different people, and there are six victims listed in the court documents. And if you go through the records and you go through my article that I wrote on this whole thing, you can see that it's pretty easy to make some sound assumptions about who those people are. And it's not just necessarily political candidates, too, by the way. You're dealing with, for example, Planned Parenthood or like organizations in the state of Montana as well. So it's beyond just candidate financial management. It's organizational nonprofits as well.
So, yeah, so this Abby Cook was basically the treasurer for a host of far-left candidates like Cora Newman, who voted for some of the craziest left-wing policies. You could call her Crazy Cora if you wanted to because of some of her crazy policies. Zoe Zephyr, Jeremiah Lynch, as you report here at the Montana Sentinel, far-left Supreme Court candidate. But even these Democrat Party front groups were using this Abby Cook as their treasurer, and she was skimming money off of a bunch of them. But again, to the broader point here, which is, you know, when Zoe Zephyr was pulling in so much cash, and then, as you point out, going on all these fancy beach vacations but disguising it as work, I mean, you've got to think that there's a bigger story here than just Abby Lee Cook and the money that she was skimming off the top.
Oh, yes, for sure. There'll be some more coming out, and we also can't forget about the fact that Abby Lee Cook was on the board of the Montana Democratic Party, too, which is part of the reason why she was able to get some of these accounting and treasurer jobs in the first place. So, like all things where there's smoke, there's fire, and I've exposed quite a bit of smoke here, and I guarantee you I didn't see it all because, in the end, they're going to be successful at hiding their tracks in some areas. That you just simply can't prove, but simple logic says that where you found a little, there's a whole lot more going on, and we're not done digging. I know there's, even just with Abby Lee Cook's story, there's more money involved and some more people, and I don't know when exactly we'll be ready to put information out about that, but it is coming. And what's interesting is this is all very publicly available. If you go through the the CERS Montana campaign reporting system for financial reports and things like that, it can be somewhat complicated to try to piece it all together, but anybody can go in there and do what I did, spend some time looking, start putting it all together, and realize, all right, well, what you've got here is extraordinarily criminal.
Well, and if Cora Newman couldn't keep account of her own finances, if Zoe Zephyr couldn't keep account of his own finances, why are these people in any way involved in our finances as Montana taxpayers is another logical conclusion there. Darren Gobb, if you can, stand with us. I got to hit the quick break here on Montana Talks, but if you can, stick around. We'll talk with you more right after this quick break.
Sure. Yep.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible. Financial geniuses. Monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Fox News Commentary.
Democrats are getting crushed in the fundraising department. I wonder why. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times best-selling author, and I'm searching for heroes. Every Monday, I'll speak with a few silent but noteworthy heroes, everyday people who illuminate stories of compassion and are true embodiments of heroism. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes, with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and please leave a rating and a review.
Approval ratings aren't the only low totals Democrats are grappling with. Turns out the party can't fundraise either. Now, if there's one thing Democrats have always been good at, it's raising money. After all, Kamala's failed campaign cost over $1 billion. But as we approach 2026 midterms, the money tree of the DNC may be drying up. According to June FEC filings, the DNC has only $15 million on hand, while Republicans have $80 million. Turns out big-dollar Democrat donors aren't willing to shell out the same kind of cash as previous years. And it's not hard to see why. The party is a mess, and has largely been reduced to a stunt, a hijink, a flash mob of pure insanity. If you take away the race card, the illegal alien hustle, radical LGBTQ appeasement, and the Trump derangement tantrums, the Democrat Party has, well, not much left. Apparently, that includes cash. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at Outkick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the area for today, high temperature readings will push up to around 80 degrees. Skies stay clear into tonight as temperatures will drop back down in the upper 40s in Bozeman to the mid-50s in Billings. And then for Saturday, we can expect more sunshine with high temperature readings on the way up into the mid-80s, staying clear and quiet Saturday night. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talk.
Show up like a Montana. Support the act at GreaterYellowstoneAct.org to protect Southwest Montana's public lands.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great. Thankfully, Darren Gobb is able to stick around with us for our final few minutes of the hour here. And then we've got George Blackard in the house in the 8 o'clock hour for Freedom Friday. A couple of messages just came in on the Montana Talks app as well. Bruce in Ennis sent us a message. We had a conversation about sales tax and property tax in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. Bruce says this: what would happen with a year like this year when revenue and attendance at, say, our national parks, I think is what he's referring to, is down 10 to 15%. Would they increase the percentage of a sales tax from 1% to 2%? And then Bruce says the important part here. Again, we don't have a taxing problem. We have a spending problem. Or in other words, we don't have a revenue problem. We have a spending problem. Too much redundancy in state government. Too many government employees doing jobs that private business should be doing. Yeah, I agree with the broader point there that, look, we don't have a revenue problem in Helena. We have a spending problem in Helena. Tim in Savage messaged us about this story that we were talking about with Darren Gobb that he covered at the Montana Sentinel about this Democrat Party financier operative who embezzled $250,000. Tim in Savage says this: $250,000 and no jail? Yeah, great point there by Tim and Savage. Darren Gobb is also a retired lieutenant colonel, retired from the U.S. Army, has been a great voice on national security issues here in the country as well, lives in Helena. Darren, thanks for sticking around, because I wanted to get your take on, I know we've only got a couple of minutes here, but I wanted to get your take on the peace talks with Ukraine and Russia and all the work that President Trump's been doing.
Yeah, what a great way to finish up. I tell you, he's doing it in the right order, and he's doing it well. And it doesn't necessarily guarantee a peace treaty because you're dealing with Putin and Zelensky, and neither one of them seems to be in a rush to get to peace right now. But the Alaska summit went really well. There's a couple people that Trump was surrounded by that I was a little concerned about. I'm hoping they're not too influential, but we'll see. But that was a very good both I guess a visual thing too. I mean, look at, you know, the B-2 and the fighters overflying them, and then as they drive to the next location, going by a whole bunch more aircraft, showing what America is. But simply talking is a huge step forward. You had to start somewhere, and starting with Putin is a great place to start, gauging the temperature of the waters, and then moving from there. You can't expect a peace treaty out of a one-on-one meeting like that. So the next step, of course, was to get with Zelensky, who of course brought a whole bunch of European leaders along the side of him, it seemed like, and what went on at the White House was also well done in intent and desire, and we'll see where it goes, but the third step was always going to be figuring out a way to get Putin and Zelensky together, and that'll be the hardest nut to crack, and I think that's, well, hopefully in the making very soon, and the sad thing is that a lot of people are trying to bash Trump for not walking away with the peace treaty yet. But this is a very hard one to do because of the personalities involved in so many other things. The way Trump is doing it with his team right now is as well as I've ever seen it done.
Yeah, and how hypocritical for the media mob to attack Trump for talking with Putin. It's almost as if they want the carnage to continue. And they had no problem with all these other presidents and Clintons, et cetera, meeting with Putin. But Trump does it, and it's just they're against everything Trump, no matter what Trump is doing for America.
It's very true. And a simple analogy is I can walk into your house and I can use a sledgehammer and, you know, given a few hours, I can destroy everything. But it would take months to rebuild. It's the same thing here. It's very easy to destroy good things, take a sledgehammer to European security, to relationships with Russia and China and so many other different nations. And Trump walked into that house after it had been sledgehammered already. And now he's putting it back together. How dare we sit back and complain on when day one doesn't yield something on paper, then everything suddenly comes to peace for a guy who's already ended, I think, seven conflicts. So let's give peace a chance. Give it a little bit of time.
Well said. Well said. And we all know who came in with the sledgehammer, Joe Biden, John Tester, and the Democrats that destroyed so much that Trump is working to rebuild right now. Darren Gobb, the Montana Sentinel, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
The impact of a meal goes well beyond feeding our bodies, because feeling full can sound like this.
How did the interview go?
I did it. I got the job. I can't believe it.
And like this.
Mom, I got first place at the science fair with my volcano project.
That's amazing, sweetie. Congratulations.
Because when people are fed, futures are nourished, and everyone deserves to live a full life. Join the movement to end hunger at feedingamerica.org/act now. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by End Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.